everyone, to the Pop Culture Podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt. Joining me as always is Pete in studio. Hello, Pete.
Hello, Matt. Hello, everybody. Here for the finale of our summer-long Star Wars Rebels Season 1 podcast, Fire Across the Galaxy. Matt, are you ready to fire across the galaxy?
I sure am. I'm very, very excited. I know we have a good adventure ahead of us. And you know what? Darn it, I hope these people come back for a good season 2, maybe some kind of siege on Lothal, but we'll address that probably next summer. You ready to press play? Press play, Pete.
Punch it.
Here we go, Pete. On go. 3, 2, 1, go. There we go.
So a little TIE fighter yard action here. One of those landers, some stormtroopers rolling around, and Kanan still in custody. Our rebels needing to break him out. The end game for this episode, of course.
I believe the toys identify that vehicle as a troop transport. Although I would agree, certainly it does move the old TIE fighters around.
Yeah, if you consider TIE fighters troops, which everybody in the Empire knows, duh, they're not.
But you could fit a lot of guys in there. You could fit probably a...
I love how the little chase is going on. Ezra and Zeb are just standing on the ramp and watch it and then head into this craft, we'll call it, Matt.
The craft, the ship, yes. We've discussed many times how a number of these episodes could be kind of a standalone, not exactly a pilot, but like, hey, let me show you what this show is about. This is another episode where it's just, you know immediately what's going on. You get it. It's got all the iconography of the Empire and the people fighting the Empire.
And stormtroopers still, Matt, cannot shoot worth a damn.
Well, you know what, Pete? I think that they're still feeling the effects of the transition from clone troopers to... They just don't know how to recruit people. Love this little detail here, by the way.
Yes.
You get the phoenix of the rebellion.
Rising from the ashes of the TIE fighter yard.
It's subtle enough that you might... Like, if you're a kid, you might miss it.
And really, I appreciate that. Could only be done on a cartoon. But we use our sabacc table here in the best Star Wars style to lay out some exposition-y points holographically.
It's as we discuss every week with any show that we do. You have to have this exposition here to really make it clear what's going on. And here I think it's not forced in any way. Of course, you're going to have this kind of final prep here to get ready for the big mission. Oh, now you got to tell Mom what you've been doing.
Hey, remember that TIE fighter from episode 2? Yeah, we didn't get rid of it like we said we was.
# it's all connected.
Yes. Yeah, there's a spray paint problem on it.
I will grant the show the narrative conceit that they can't simply paint it quickly. Because all I know is this, and Pete, I certainly don't have the street cred that you do. I think you go out there with some spray paint cans or whatever they used. I think you could probably get just a decent coat of gray on there fairly quickly with 4 people plus a droid. Again, it's a cute thing that... It's a cute story... story flourish that I don't think is a negative.
You've got to wonder too, given, you know, you use the word iconography, Matt, that there is a TIE fighter prominently featured in the coming Star Wars The Force Awakens that bears a very unique paint job. And you've got to wonder how much the production of that influenced the production of this. Of course, after the fact.
Well, I'm increasingly kind of chomping at the bit at the idea that if they really want to strengthen the different Star Wars properties and really tie it together, that you could have some of these characters appear in Rogue One, even if it's just a scene, even if it's just in the background, people will lose their Bantha poodoo, be like, oh my goodness, at that briefing was, you know, there were five tables at the briefing. The fifth table in the back, you could clearly see it was Kanan and Hera and so on and so forth. And people would just go, you know, certain segment of the population, certain segment of the viewing population would go bonkers.
Just have Chopper, you know, roll by. You know, these interrogation scenes, particularly effective in light of the overall arc of these final three episodes. We've seen the relationship evolve throughout the season between the Inquisitor and Kanan from an antagonistic point of view, throw in Ezra there to complicate it. And what takes place ultimately in this episode and how it affects the second season, you know, pretty interesting stuff in terms of the progression.
I certainly would agree. And I mean, there's so much that's wonderful about this episode and so much that really puts an exclamation point on the season and really, really ties things together. As you said, with that TIE fighter all the way back in episode two, that so easily could have been a throwaway moment. And I would argue may or may not have been part of the plan from the get-go, but they just realized they have this thing and now they can use it.
Look at the lighting in the cockpit in this particular scene and how it's coming across. The decision to use Mustafar as a location, which has previously been used on the Clone Wars. You know, this is a touchstone as far as a location and really foreshadowing of its connection.
Well, I mean, speaking of that quality, I actually rewatched this episode yesterday. And I've mentioned in the past, you know, this sense that for whatever reason, there's a less crisp version on the Disney XD channel on Apple TV. I can tell you, watching this on your Cabletown cable provider, this is super crisp, and I will definitely not be watching season two through Apple TV. Don't know what the issue is there, if it's on the Apple end or on the Disney XD end, but looks like cable is getting, you know, whether this is 720p, 1080p, this is super sharp, and there's, you know, the details that they've put in, you can now pick up so much easier.
I love watching it on the app. I particularly love the way they incentivize that by making the next episode available nearly the moment the week before's finished up on broadcast.
That is awfully tempting. So that's not the case with On Demand.
No.
Okay.
No, it was not the case. They would not get it until after the episode had aired.
Love this shot here, where everything is turned horizontal, or turned, well, I guess to the horizontal configuration of, you know, of the screen. And there's a neat little animation moment coming up here. He pushes the thing out and just touches it. It's hot as a cold. Again, just these little things that, honest to goodness, were not there in the early episodes. And we understand why, because it's the pilot and so on and so forth. But this, it is amazing the growth that this has had. Is it Clone Wars level money coming in, you know, being put into it? No. Is it Clone Wars level detail? No. But the spirit is there.
And the shuttle's inbound now.
Pete, your thoughts, and not to be spoilery here, your thoughts that Tarkin might appear in Rogue One.
Well, Matt, you're asking me not to be what I am. I have to ask you, what do you want me to tell you?
Do you think they will be effective making the Tarkin and Tupac holograms as they have a Jedi rap battle?
This has been something that Lucasfilm has pursued for a long time. It's going
Tupac?
To happen. Yes, they've been pursuing Tupac as a Jedi. Okay. Master Coupot. it's happening, and just get behind it.
Okay. Is it true that Tupac has been hiding all these years because it's been part of the Lucasfilm long-term plan?
Yes.
There you go. You heard it first.
Wait, do you see Master Biggie Smalls as well?
Wow.
He, of course, will be a Sith. Still, where is Fulcrum hiding those funny things in there?
Pete, there's no way around it other than to say they put the need for secrecy and the stinger at the end ahead of other solutions, which could have been, I mean, I'm sure they went through like this. Can we do a hologram projection that somehow doesn't show the whole head? Okay, how many times has that occurred ever in Star Wars? None. It's always this 3D illusion, you know.
Little Han moment there for Kanan. Clearly the Han archetype of the show falling off the torture device. Shades of Han and Bespin. We've got some shades of early season one Clone Wars episode right here when a Jedi we may see in a little bit. And Luminara Unduli had a duel with Asajj Ventress in a Republic transport. What would we call this here? Core?
Yeah, because you know the Empire likes to build military vessels that have exposed engine parts that can be easily damaged. By the way, we have a moment coming up, and I think it might be after the, you know, we have a commercial break in a moment, but there's some story baloney, some felony baloney about to occur.
I was
going to
say, we're going to say FB, Matt, we're going to call felony baloney earlier on the Fulcrum hologram.
Well, there's that. I think I'm not justifying their decision, but I know why they made it. At least it was made to preserve the secret. And I'm not saying it was done well. I think that if nothing else, you could have chosen different camera angles to hide the fact that you weren't showing her whole head or something like that. But
fantastic lightsaber duel here. Back to the best of the prequels.
Now here is the felony baloney. Obviously, we don't actually think in this moment on first viewing that Ezra has been killed.
Right.
But Kanan can see that he fell like 15 feet onto a walkway, which will only be revealed in a little bit, but we're playing it as he's dead. And again, no one believed he was actually dead, but that's the poo-doo they're shoveling us right now, despite the fact that we're going to see, oh, Kanan doesn't have any fear that bad things are going to happen because the kid fell and is passed out.
Let me just play Sith advocate here for a moment, Matt. Where it might be, you know, Kanan raises the lightsabers. He's got nothing left to lose, he says, nothing left to fear. Could he be deking the Inquisitor there?
Deking? I'm not. See, I don't.
Decoying.
Decoying. I think that's the only logical conclusion to make, given that we know now that he does not think Ezra is dead and therefore has not been freed of the fear of Ezra dying. Oh, man. See, he's okay. I wonder how the voice communicators work. Like, is it walkie-talkie, just a one-to-one?
I would imagine, right?
Okay. So, like, if you wanted to then call Kanan instead, you have to have a separate communicator. They should do something with, like, a numeric communication pad. I would also disagree. I would disagree with the notion that fighting a quasi-Sith, yes, Kanan has let his Jedi flower bloom. I would not call this situation more than okay or better or whatever wording he just used. This is a precarious situation.
And this is where a second point of Star Wars Rebels growing up, you know, the first, of course, being when the Inquisitor decapitated two Imperial underlings two episodes ago. But now that they have the chutzpah, Matt, to put the villain into this precarious situation, the line here, no idea what you've unleashed here today. And then that he willingly sacrifices himself, foreshadowing what is to come. Great, great move. Only leaves you wanting more. And thank goodness for, you know, that early taste of season two that we got, because otherwise, you know, we're waiting with even more bated breath at this point.
It definitely is daring on a quote-unquote kids show to have a villain kill himself. And this isn't, it's not even the ambiguity of, no, grab the vine before the rock slide hits you. And it's kind of like, gravity and nature and circumstance kills him. Like, he chooses to kill himself in that moment.
Right.
And it is completely unambiguous. Ah, the smile on her face speaks of many things in the heart. That one's for you, Michelle. It's all there. It's shown by character acting, character animation. She's so cool under pressure too, especially in the pilot position here.
Michelle or Hera?
I'm sure that Michelle is a very, very capable, cool under pressure pilot. But I was specifically speaking about Hera there.
It's confusing sometimes.
Still not quite sure why. I'm not quite sure of my feelings that TIE fighters are top loading, although I will grant you that they are in this universe top loading. And if it's some weird military design thing, you know, then certainly that has existed before.
So not only do they cap the Inquisitor, they boost his ride, Matt. The only thing they could have done worse would be to steal and then utilize his lightsaber. And maybe his Inquisitor girlfriend.
I was going to say, the only thing that could be worse is to get his Inquisitor girlfriend.
Well, we are getting more Inquisitors in season two, so there's still that possibility.
Maybe one of them will be fighting for the love of the Inquisitor.
Oh, one of them you definitely have seen before.
Wow. Is there such a thing as SSSM? Same-sex Sith marriage, or is that just so long ago?
Sith deal in absolutes, Matt, so I'm going to have to say no.
Okay, fair enough. I like here, by the way, this is a really well-crafted portion of the story where it's unclear what's going on completely on first viewing. You know it's the good guys because the Chopper close-up, because the ghost, because the music tells us. We know that when last we saw Chopper, there was Fulcrum. So there's this missing portion of the story, clearly.
Right.
There's
and
this.
They show up. Okay. They're shooting at the bad guys. The Republic, or shall I say the Rebel blockade runners were, you know, seasoned watchers of the franchise, knowing that, all right, we're in good hands here. And then the denouement that takes place to follow here, the shuttle getting Tarkin out, and really our final act in hyperspace.
One more bit of Filoni baloney, though. The ghost and the Imperial ship connected in hyperspace, not connected when they entered hyperspace. I don't know that you can do that, but that's okay. That's not my understanding of hyperspace, but that's okay. Look, there we go. That right there, that little touch on the shoulders, that, and the hand, and the welcome deer. You know what, Pete? They don't need to smooch on the kids' cartoon because they have a love that's deeper than kissing on camera. And then I love
who
here.
Who was
flying the ghost? You go, oh, here's the big reveal. Here it comes. It's what is it true or the rumors true? And what do you get? You get.
Love the shot there of our family.
Yeah.
You know, could have been from their vantage point. Instead, it's of their reactions. Chopper, of course, already knows who this is. So he takes a position in front. Oh,
but then the fake out. Yep.
Of Bail Organa. That's who it was, Matt.
And again, it's unclear because you're like, oh, the answer is Bail Organa. But wait, but we're on the go. What? It's just wonderfully.
Smiths can't fly. He doesn't have his space shipper flyer license.
And then this triumphant moment.
The protocol has changed, son.
Even though
I knew this was coming, Matt, I was giddy
when
I watched it. And Ahsoka for me, and you get a lot of cues based on the second iteration of her outfit that she had from Clone Wars that this is an extension of. There's a lot of connections to Han Solo, and I think that she's really going to continue to bring that vibe to the show. She is not a Jedi. She is outside of that. And here, of course, with our stinger, we get some serious dramatic upspike.
It's just a fantastic double way to end the story and to propel it. And I would argue even it's daring to end on your villains. Show called Rebels. You don't end with the Rebels, but great camera work here. And just into the camera.
Outstanding.
Absolutely outstanding. Pete, is this chronologically, is this the first appearance of Darth Vader since the end of episode 3? You know, because he was never in Clone Wars, obviously.
Did they have, they had a pseudo flashback trippy situations of him never physically appearing.
So again, in chronological order, he's been gone. I mean, I guess from episode 3, you then just go to Rebels. So it's been, you know, 15 episodes, but still it's somebody who, if you're watching in order, you haven't seen all this time. Also just in a span of years, we now haven't seen Darth Vader for 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, from the internal chronology of the show.
Right,
so
right.
Just kind of the return of the character there. Pete, this has been a fantastic journey going through these 15 episodes of season 1.
A lot of fun, and, you know, something we did a little bit differently to do these as commentaries, and we've hoped you've enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll obviously be returning to our normal type format for the fall and winter and spring Marvel TV shows, but I'm glad we did it this way. It was a little bit easier for us summer wise. It was a little something else. It also let us keep in touch with everybody these last 15 weeks. Well, Pete, before we officially start to wrap things up, I think we have a quick message from the banking clan.
Definitely a shout out to our Patreon patrons, Matt, who make so much of this possible. You head over to patreon.com, Fantastic Geek, where, of course, with the PH and, you know, the people who help us by their generosity enable us to bring this to you.
Indeed they do. And Pete, the greatest reward of all, though, is, of course, as always, as it has been for this entire summer, interacting with you on Twitter, How can new people do so? People who are eager, people who are wiping away their tears saying, what do you mean no more Star Wars until maybe next summer? Although I think we might have a Star Wars podcast ahead of us this winter.
I know we will.
Little episode. But anyhow, how can people be in touch with you on the Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter J. Ketelaar. Peter, P-I-E-T-E-R, J, K-E-T-E-L-A-A-R. 6,167 followers. Can't be wrong.
Wow. Impressive. Well, I am personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost. You can be in touch with the podcast in a variety of ways. We are Fantastic Geek with PH on the Twitter, .com, and the Gmail. But wait, Pete, there's more.
There is facebook.com/Fantastic Geek. Again, spelled with a PH. All one word. Like us today. Promise we won't fill your timeline full of spam. It'll all be worthwhile.
And indeed, Pete, this podcast has been worthwhile. Certainly look forward to getting back to Marvel stuff, and well, you know, we're back to Star Wars Rebels Season 2. And I will say namaste to our listeners and give you the final word.
There are things called words. We'll be right back.